This is Return to You podcast with me, your host, Erica Straub. Each week, I'll drop in with thought leaders and soulful healers for expansive conversations on resolving the conflict trauma created between you living and loving directly and intimately. To be fulfilled and satisfied in this lifetime, you have to bring your true self forward. But first, you gotta ask the question, who am I? It is such an honor to connect you with Fernando Gonzalez. He is not only one of my personal healers and teachers, he is absolutely brilliant in his capacity to combine the spiritual world and neuroscience. Fernando's been working with psychedelics for over 16 years, primarily with ayahuasca and mushrooms. He's also been studying their application in the neurological field and their influence on the perception of relative reality and the field of consciousness. He has personally developed 16 microdosing protocols to support mental health and degenerative diseases, as well as supporting people with depression, addiction, ADHD, OCD, PTSD, cluster migraines, and so much more. He has accompanied and supported the integration process of hundreds of people in macrodoses with ayahuasca and mushrooms in Brazil, Peru, and Mexico. He has also been a practitioner of meditation traditions such as Tantric Buddhism for many years. I can't wait for you to hear this conversation. I can't wait for you to experience Fernando's open heart and his brilliant mind. So let's drop in. I would love to start with just how you even started this work, how you started working with mushrooms and kind of what pulled you to this space.
Well, I studied business administration. To tell you the truth, I was in the mergers and acquisition business for about 20 years. And 16 years ago, I did an acquisition on a company that it was, we were doing the satellite dishes for Sky and DirecTV. And we lost all our money in 2 weeks. So that was like the tipping point. Because I was trying to find meaning and purpose in that decision that I made in that moment. Right. And I started to look for some meaning. A lot of questions arises and started looking for a solution in order not to kill myself. I was like, in that moment, I was having a two-year-old daughter. And my wife was pregnant. Uh-huh. And we were kicked out of the house because I didn't have money to pay. So my sister, she told me that there was going to come a shaman to Mexico, that she was going to do an ayahuasca ceremony. Mm-hmm. And she invited. And I did two ayahuasca ceremonies in 1 week. And that was like the tipping point because I started killing myself. And just trying to find some answers to my inner spirit, you know, trying to precisely to find meaning in what was coming next and how can I overcome a huge depression that I was inside at that moment. So that was the initial point. And I started doing ayahuasca. Just to make a long story short, I did ayahuasca for 16 years. After the first 4 years, I started studying neuroscience, but neuroscience with applications to psychedelics. And I started trying all the psychedelics that you can imagine. I tried DMT, Salvia Divinorum. Obviously, ayahuasca is my root plant. I started trying mushrooms, Hickory, that is the cactus as well. The peyote is known very well known as peyote. And I started to understand what was going on in my mind and also in my heart and in my soul, because it works in so many levels of reality. So I started studying neuroscience because I wanted to have like the answers to what was happening in my mind, really, and how I was perceiving reality in a completely different point of view than 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. No, so that was the initial point. And then, 6 years ago, I started working very much with emotion because I was looking for a plant medicine that can support my mother process. Let me tell you that I grew up with a depressed mother. She took 40 years of antidepressants. So I was willing to give her ayahuasca, but she was too weak to hold the medicine. So that was the moment that I started looking for other medications, and I found emotions. And I did the first protocol for her. And my surprise was that in 45 days, she quit 40 years of antidepressants. Mm-hmm. And that was the initial point. She was my first patient. And this was like a huge discovery because at that moment, 6 years ago, there was no information about the microdosing and the emotions and the effects in the SSRIs and in other type of medications as well. So I did this protocol with a friend of mine that he at that moment he was he's Brazilian. He was the head of the Neuroscience Institute in Brasilia. He had been working very much with ayahuasca, mushrooms, LSD, and together we did the protocol, and this was like an amazing initial point. And you know, one thing started leading to the other, and after 5 years, a little bit more than 5 years, we have support more than 1,000 people to get out of SSRIs and medications. So it has been a beautiful process. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. I've had such deep respect and love for you since we entered into this container, but to know your story and the roots of where this started is such a gift. That's so powerful.
Yeah. I think everybody has a tipping point in their lives. It can be a disease. It can be a loss of your company. It can be a divorce. And those, if we can really recognize that those are tipping points in our lives and we can see the opportunity in a process of growth, then we can start with the right fit in the process.
It's so how we meet those moments, because it feels like such reckonings and nothing can ever grow from it, but they end up being the most sacred moments, and so much transforms from them if we can meet those moments and stay open.
Of course, for example, something similar happened to you, correct?
Yeah. I feel like my trauma really catalyzed when I started having panic attacks in my early 20s when my father passed away. And I had done a really good job of keeping the lid on everything until all of that. And after he passed and after that level of anxiety surfaced, it took over my life. It took such a hold on me, on my soul, on the people I surrounded myself with, very like toxic, guarded type relationships, just in a lot of danger. And it's been such a pathway from that to heal, but there was such a soul calling to heal, and medication wasn't really my route. Like, I supplemented here and there when the panic attacks got so bad with like benzos, but I didn't go the SSRI path because I am so sensitive and it felt like this foreigner in my body. Totally not saying those medications don't have a place, but it didn't feel right in my body. And I'd done a lot of work to heal, a lot in the therapeutic space, somatic space, yoga, breath work, you know, a lot of different modalities, but I couldn't get deep enough. I couldn't get deep enough. And my pathway led me to connecting with you and really starting a microdose protocol. And it's only been 3 months, maybe?
Yeah.
Somewhere around that, 3 months. And I remember our first conversation that I came to you saying that there's this block between me and intimacy. There's this block between me like deeply connecting with life, this block between me connecting with my horse. this block with me connecting deeply with a partner. I'm working with a horse whisperer with my horse and learning how to receive and have connection and contact and like wrap my legs around my horse and actually like breathe with her. And so much deeper in my body. So it's truly revolutionary what this realm of medication and medicine can do. Like, completely transformative.
Wow. Like, I mean, this is such an inspiration, Erica. Really hearing your story, it's like bringing like a lot of hope to a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
And the emotions work like that. You know, the mycelium is about connecting. It's about contact. It's mm-hmm. about connection. The objective or the function of the emotion in nature is to capture precisely the code of light of the sun. And it's like an amplifier of signal because it throws that amplification through the mycelium and brings light to the underground.
Mm.
And that brings life into the plants and to the planet. So it does precisely the same in our physical body and in our brain. It's about connection. It connects our heart with our mind, with our emotions, with the people that surround us, with nature, obviously, with your horse, with animals, with your pets. If someone has a dog or a cat, it's amazing how the relation just goes into another level.
It really does. And it is that amplification, which is so interesting because I think I'm not alone in this, but the pathway has always been, how do I numb this or how do I not feel this? You know, it's like the opposite. How do I avoid this? How do I manage this intensity? And the microdosing has such an opposite effect of pharmaceuticals because it's like, oh no, we're going to feel this more. We're going to feel more. Like, we're amplifying what's here. And as I'm sure you remember, the first couple of weeks that we started this process, I had some really big trauma responses come up that were like terrifying. And they opened up so much because it was taking me back to this root place that I could not feel before. But it was terrifying to have something amplified at first.
It's become, we are used to deny the emotions, no? Like, there's a strong emotion or a difficult emotion, it's about, no, I don't want to feel anything. No, but this is precisely on the opposite. We need to feel in order to heal. If we do not feel, we just put everything in the Pandora box. No, this is, for example, precisely how the trauma operates in our brain. The defense mechanism of the brain is to break the interconnectivity where the trauma is allocated. And this is why we don't have access, or we have fragmented access to the memory of the trauma. So it's like putting the trauma down in the Pandora box. But the problem is that even though it is in our unconscious mind, it is activated all the time. It is activated with music. It's activated with all our senses, of course. It is activated if you are watching a movie, for example, and something is happening that is related to your trauma, it immediately activates. And this activation has make us an increase in a neurotransmitter that is called noradrenaline. That is the one that put our body in an alert mode. So when we activate the noradrenaline, it's like putting all our senses in a risk mode. And this is why when we do not heal trauma, or when we have profound trauma, all the time we are in this alertness that is called PTSD. So we need a lot of energy to maintain that process of alertness. And also this PTSD that is mostly mainly by the increase in the noradrenaline triggers down our serotonin. Because when we are in a risk mode, imagine that the information that you are bringing to your unconscious mind is that you are running for your life. You don't have any need to eat, to sleep, or to reproduce. This is precisely what the serotonin regulates. So it sacrifices the serotonin. And the serotonin is a molecule that connects you to life, that brings joy, that connects you to beauty, that brings meaning and brings purpose. So this is why it's super important to heal our traumatic events of life by integrating the process, because it's like if you deactivate the bomb.
Yeah, and
so this is very much what happened to you.
It's exactly what it feels like, because when I started the process, I tapped in for the first time of how much deprivation I had been in because of this system just continuing to rev below the surface. And I had done a lot of work where I wasn't in extreme survivalism by any means anymore, but there was still this PTSD in my system. Absolutely. Like this deep lodged stress that I couldn't quite get to or turn off or resolve or release. And then when the increase of serotonin came in, I really felt like, wow, I've had this like void of serotonin that has not been there. Like, how could I, you know, bring more forward or connect to life when like I was so empty in that way?
Well, and this is precisely what you said, is precisely what the microdose does in your body. No, the psilocybin, when it enters into your body, it immediately converts in another molecule that is called psilocin. That it's a twin of the serotonin. It's the same. So the serotonin identifies it as a twin brother and just immediately binds and start to regulate the serotonin levels. So precisely because it works in the opposite direction as the noradrenaline, we need to use the serotonin in our favor. So by increasing our serotonin, we reduce the noradrenaline. This is why it's so effective for reducing anxiety and depression.
Yeah. I definitely have felt so much more ease. Like the protective system that you're kind of speaking to, when we have all of this trauma in this Pandora box, everything in our world feels like a threat. We read and code everything from a threat. And of course you're defensive then. Of course you're protective because you're in self-preservation. But I've noticed because that isn't there anymore, the receptiveness I have now, like that capacity has expanded so much. And it's dropping me into such a deep place. It's opening up my truest connection to like the divine and to the spiritual part of me. And it's like, it's taking me to like these ancient places, like imagery and meditations and time travel to, like, it's opening up this like spiritual dimension in me that I know has always been there, but like in such a, like, I don't even have the words to describe it.
Wow. It's beautiful. And yes, all the plants, you know, the mushrooms have been used since 7,000 years ago. And it's a magic plant. It's a powerful plant. The shamans. It's funny because in the ancient Greek, for example, all the shamans were women. So all this plant medicine were shared through women. And precisely the idea was to connect with your inner self and with the goddess that you have in your inner self. So it was amazing before, allowing you to be much more grateful. And when you are open to be much more grateful, then you, like, if you open your devotion to God, you open your this connectivity, well, with this realm. Whatever is your profession or your connection with the divinity, you know, doesn't matter what is your approach, what is your religion, because it has to do with your personal understanding of God and your own connection with God. But it's amazing how this connection just immediately increases.
Yeah, like immediately. And I feel like it's so heart opening. And why does that happen? How does it help us open our heart? Like, that's just what I feel so much from this process, is just this deeper, deeper heart opening. And I think I'm just scratching the surface, to be honest. But that part feels like completely...
I think it has to do with several things. One is the recognition of beauty. For example, when you are deeply stressed, or when you have a deep trauma and you are in this risk mode that we just talked about, you don't have time to connect with beauty. It's like if you cannot recognize beauty. And by recognizing beauty also, you become more open from the heart, because, well, they said that beauty is your connection to the devotion, and devotion is your connection with God. No? So it's incredible, but by increasing the serotonin, you know, you feel much more relaxed, and then all the energy that you were using for sustain a state of hyper alertness, it's been used for connecting with yourself, with connecting with the beauty of a flower, you know, with your partner. So you also have more energy, and your levels of stress reduce amazingly, and you don't feel depression anymore. So all this has to do as well with feeling more grateful for life.
That's absolutely what it feels like.
Yeah. So I think these two important things is the connection with the beauty, and your connection with the grace of God through the to being grateful with life.
Yeah, there's like a coherence that feels like is here now, as opposed to like resisting life or being in opposition to life, or like unable to accept life or love or what is happening in front of me. That part feels like it's dissolved a lot. It's also this beautiful reconnection to sensitivity, because I think our sensitivity, I'll speak for myself, was made to be so wrong, and was kind of the reason I had so much trauma, because I was so sensitive, and I put a wall between myself and others, and a wall between myself and the world because of the sensitivity. And I feel like this process has helped dissolve that wall. So there's so much receiving happening from like the relational field, like into my own energy, and sensitivity is becoming like such a gift. But I've had to build capacity to be able to receive that much sensitivity.
Wow, that's a beautiful way to perceive it, Erika. And I think that has to do very much. If we talk in terms of neuroscience, there's an area of the brain that is called the default mode network. This is our automatic response to life. No? And what happens when you take plants, for example, and the microdose, is that this area becomes much more flexible. It reduces the noise. Yeah. And this area, the importance of this area, is where we held our ego. It's where we created this armor that connects us to life to survive. It's our reference of present, past, and future. So when you take a microdose, you reduce the noise. And by reducing the noise, you reduce the ego. And it's like a dissolution of the ego. No? If there's no ego, there's no trauma. So it allows you to break this armor that we all created during our lives to just to survive. So I think this is another important point, because it's like a dissolution of the ego makes you feel more empathic, more conscious about others, of course, more compassionate about others. So this is another important point in the microdosing.
Yeah, and I remember maybe even from our first conversation months ago that a lot of this work, a lot of the mushroom is pressing against our defensive system to let go, like helping that whole system kind of come apart. And the microdose doing that much more gently than a macrodose. And as you and I are deepening into this work, and I'm starting to step into what is it going to look like to do bigger and more of this work and have that experience. I'm just curious if you could speak to kind of the different experience of the defensive system being pressed against or open from a micro level, and then the defensive system being really pressed against with like a macro dose.
Okay, well, it has to do with two things. One is precisely the default mode network. The default mode network is where we have our defense mechanism. It's our reaction to life, like our automatic reaction to life. So in the moment that we start to heal the trauma, we start to change our programming in our brain. So what was a threat before, now is a connection of joy. So in this area of the brain that is very well studied by science, you know, it starts in the front lobe, it goes into the back, and then it has a connection between the both hemispheres. It's where we have all that word programming. So if you do a macro dose, for example, what happened with the macro dose is that you break the default mode network for about 3 or 4 hours. And this is the dissolution completely of the ego. A lot of people, probably the people that have done some plants before, ayahuasca, or even LSD or psilocybin, mushrooms, they have done macrodoses. They experience this dissolution of the ego. And it's the aha moment in which you understand that we are all connected at some level. And then you're connected and you connect your spirit with God. No, because you don't have ego. So that has to do very much what happened with the macro dose and the micro dose. What is the challenge between the micro and the macro? When you do a macro dose, the challenge is because we have a gap between the information that we receive and our neurosis, our programming. And then from that information, this programming is how we decodify the information that we are receiving and how do we apply it in our daily life. This is part of the integration process. What happened with the microdose is that this process is it's in a day basis. So the insights that you are having are so clear that there is no gap between what you are perceiving and what is the reality that you are having, you know? So in this insights from the microdose, you can immediately apply them to your daily life. Why is this? Well, the psilocybin, what it does is an increase of a protein that is called neurotrophic factor of the brain. This protein is the key because this protein is the one that heals and reconnects the neurons in the brain. So imagine if you have a deep trauma it also works with people that have dementia, for example, very well, because when we increase this interconnectivity, we reduce the broken areas of the brain generated mainly by aging, by the use of drugs, alcohol, cannabis, and shared by trauma. So all these three together, they create these great clusters where the unconscious mind is allocated. So in the moment that you start to take the microdose and you start to heal, then the beauty about this is that you start to integrate your conscious mind to your consciousness because you start to generate new pathways that do not exist in this precise moment. So if you do, for example, therapy, during the process of microdosing, you accelerate the process because a therapist has the professional tools to take you into deeper process of your unconscious mind and to go deep into the root of the trauma. So the process accelerates very much. Wow. So I think these two conditions, that this is the reduction on the noise of the default mode network and the increase in the neuroplasticity by reducing the gray areas of the brain are the keys for a deep healing process. And this connection to joy, beauty, meaning, purpose, and the connection with God.
Yeah, how you're describing it is exactly how it's felt in my body, that like what I'm perceiving and what I'm feeling is almost instantly just put into movement and into life. There's not this like, what is all of this? I don't know about all this. I got to like, you know, be in this mess or this unknown with it and then try and communicate or translate or open. It's just this like flow of like, this is what I'm feeling. I don't have to question what I'm feeling. Like it's a feeling. And then it's
experience. It's experience precisely. No?
Yeah, that's exactly how it feels. Like it's just almost instantaneous integration or instantaneous insight. And it just is like continuing to keep moving. And thinking about the macro doses, because that's something we're talking about stepping into, it feels really confronting and really terrifying because it's asking the two things that I've learned to do so well to survive, which has been to control and to hold on. And I'm curious if you could speak into that. How does someone who wants to control and hold on step into experiences that really confront that?
Well, that's part of the healing process, because we really don't have control of anything, just sometimes of our breath. So the microdose starts precisely with an attachment on our control, you know? And I think it's an experience, an ongoing experience through the process, because in the moment that you resist and you still want to control, you will see that it's much more difficult to handle it because you don't flow. You know, so there's a tipping point in which, okay, if I'm going to die, I need to die. And in that moment that you just surrender to the process, it completely changes. And then you start just flowing. No, it's about flow. Your energy is flowing. So if you resist and you want to control, it's like you're blocking your vital energy.
And that's the whole piece that pulled me to this journey, is so knowing how much I had been in resistance to my own energy flowing, to my own emotions moving through and releasing. And it's so interesting too, because in partnership, there's this one part of me that still comes up, or maybe is coming up for the first time because of the depth of the relationship and the safety and openness of the container, where I can feel it in my body, the resistance to let the feeling move all the way through, the resistance to letting something complete and resolve, and how much intensity that puts me in, like how much more suffering and endurance that puts me in, because it's not yet letting go. And so that's a big motivator for me to step more into this work, because I know it's this resistance blocking me from like the deepest experience of intimacy, the deepest experience of connection. But I can feel it in my body, and it's so interesting because it lives in my jaw, and it's like a clamping down as soon as like a really, really big depth of sensation or emotion wants to come through and be released.
You know, that's why when you do a macrodose, the first thing that we need to do is to set an intention. Because the idea is to understand where is that fear coming from, or that control coming from. And medicine works amazingly, because it takes you there to a deep comprehension. So if we can, in that process, you can really understand the root of the condition that is holding you back, then you immediately release it. Sometimes it's so simple, you know, like just like it's just in front of my nose. How I didn't see this, no?
Yeah, it feels right there, and there's part of me that's like, I can probably work through this and resolve this in the other planes and continue. And also, there's a deep knowing that this is going to move me through it in such a powerful, more embodied way and on a pace that's in alignment with my energy and my heart. Because my energy and my heart want to move way quicker than, you know, some of these other modalities can access. So and you develop so much trust in the mushroom itself. Like it has such wisdom.
Yes, of course. It's a kingdom. You're just the model is a new kingdom. It's a hybrid between an animal and a plant that connects to another level of consciousness. And for me, it's like opening doors of perception, because we have different realities. We have one reality that is one this real, but we have many realities at the same time. So the mushrooms and all the plants, mainly the power plants, allow you to observe and have a deeper understanding of what is reality. And this has to do with an integration of all the realms, because we have a soul, we have a spirit, we have an upper self. So in the moment that we can integrate everything together, then we have a more fulfilled life. It's much more coherent. We talk about energy is the coherence of ourselves in all the dimensions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Will you say more about that? That was so beautiful.
Yes. Well, we are all our brain is created to operate in this realm of consciousness, of course. So when we are very rational, and we want to comprehend everything through our senses and science, then we are very limited, because science has a huge limitation. No, imagine that, for example, I can explain some of the things that happen with the mushrooms and science and what happened to your brain, to your neuroplasticity, etc. But it's super limited what it's really happening in many other levels. Because we are, you know, our physical body is just a fraction of who we are. If we can only perceive just in light, 5% of the light that existed, no, and we can only hear 7% of the sounds, then imagine how limited is our perception of reality. So what happened with the plants is that you start to open your heart to other dimensions that your brain do not understand. So by opening your heart and connecting with your soul and with your spirit, then you can transcend this limitation that is our physical body. And then you can start, you know, healing from, like happened with a lot of shamans, or a lot of illuminated masters. They operate in a lower level of consciousness. And the plants precisely, it's like, putting the head out of the water just to see what's going on in another level of consciousness. This is an amplification of our consciousness by quieting our mind.
What always strikes me is for those of us who have experienced a lot of trauma, a lot of times we live outside of our body. Like we're maybe in the headspace, or maybe we're not even there. Like we're like dissociating, and there's so much work to come back into our body and be in like really embody self, develop a felt sense. Like I can feel in my body sensation, and my body's communicating to me through sensation. And then a lot of this work feels like it kind of takes you out of body or out of this perception. I'm curious if that's true or what
that's
you
a very good
add
question.
To that.
I think it integrates all your bodies, because you have the experience in the physical body as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the experience in the physical body, but you transcend as well the physical body. But when you are having the macro dose, for example, you are living in this realm as well. So for me, precisely, it's about integrating all the experience through your different layers of reality. And the body obviously is the most important one after the trip, because all the trauma is in our physical body. So if we can release the energy of the trauma of our physical body, then we heal. So I think that it's like opening the door, like trespassing the space and time, observing in another dimension. Probably you can see through other lives as well. You can see our karmic connection sometimes, depending very much on your own experience, how to flow in the realm. And then the whole idea is to come back and to heal your physical body.
Yeah, there's the coming back piece that's really, really important. And I think what I'm also really discovering about the body in this is, and I can just speak for myself, but the pain body, like the level of pain body that I've, you know, been living with or avoiding or finding ways to not feel, but the actual level of pain that is alive in my body and like, wow, I've done such a great job of managing that and enduring. But now it's like, oh, there's this whole other possibility that like the pain body can be more released. Like I don't have to keep enduring it in that same way. Like, yes, there'll be pain in life and all of that, but it's more of this like feeling it and releasing it as opposed to like living in it in such a caged type way.
Well, I think in pain as well, as precisely as you said, we have many levels. One is the sensations, you know, and it has been proven, for example, when you have a chronic pain or a chronic disease, all your body is much more sensitive to pain, because it's like if you have like a higher connectivity to the pain. So what happened with the microdose as well is that it break the program on the pain and relief system. So it's like regenerating and have a new experience about pain. That's one part. The second part obviously has to do with how pain affects our perception of reality, affects about being grateful with life, affects how we connect with joy, with beauty, with the people that surround us. So it's pain. It's a very difficult topic, because when you are there, I mean, it's easy to say, but when you are in pain, you forget about everything. So it's just the physical body that it's just like asking for help.
Do you feel like we empty pain out, or do we not? And maybe that's not an answerable question, but that's just present for me. Do we empty this past pain maybe out of the vessel or not?
I think it's more how we relate with pain, because we have been working very much with people with chronic pain, with fibromyalgia, for example, with chronic diseases, and the pain remains, but the relation that you have with pain changes. And it's not, and now the idea is that pain do not rule your perception of reality, but you can really manage your relation with pain and have a more fulfilled life. No.
How does that relationship shift? Like, what is that newer?
For example, because we are sometimes very identified with pain, and it has a secondary benefit. For example, being the center of attraction, you know, like, hey, have you seen this poor guy, Fernando? He's in pain for a long time. And you identify with being in pain. And that brings a lot of attention. That's a secondary benefit. So there are some people that are so identified with pain that they don't want to release the pain. Because they have, for example, the attention of their kids. They have the attention of their family, you know.
Yeah.
So it has to do very much as well with losing the identification with the guy or the woman that is in pain.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I don't think we knew each other yet at this time, but my whole work in the world was under the title Anxious Female. Like, that was the name of my business because it all started for me to really face what I was going through and then teach about it. But it was such an identity I was attached to. And it's been a lot of disorientation and renegotiation, but that's not who I am. And this process has really helped solidify that I don't have an attachment to being an anxious person anymore, or a person who has panic anymore. Like, that doesn't feel like that's part of my identity.
Wow, that's precisely what we are talking about. It's about releasing the ego. It's about understanding that we are more than a physical body. Congratulations. This is the whole idea.
Something like just so clicked in, because it's not that I never, ever feel anxiety anymore or have experiences of it, but it is so different. That's wild. Like, I think I'm just integrating something right now, like in real time with what you just said, because anxiety brought a lot of pain, like a lot of pain, but also like a lot of different ways, and how I related with people was really wrapped up in that.
And what is anxiety? Anxiety is an imbalance on our chemistry. This is the way that our brain can let us know that we have an imbalance. No, it's by emotions, irritability, anxiety, depression, chronic depression. The greater the chemical imbalance, the nearer we go to depression. And this chemical imbalance happens through our perception of reality and from our traumas that affects our perception of reality. So everything is linked.
Yeah, it's all connected. What would you say, like, someone's path would look like if they were interested in starting in plant medicine? Like, what would you, I know everyone's different, so it might not be a universal answer, but what would you maybe loosely say a path would look like if someone was like, I want to explore this modality. I want to explore what it would mean to heal in this way.
I think the microdose is a great approach because it's super safe. You can do it in your house. You can do it in your daily life. You don't need a shaman to guide you. You do not lose consciousness at all. I mean, you are much more concentrated and focused and aware than before. And it's a beautiful process of growth, healing, and it's fun as well. So I think the microdose is a great starting point, and it's powerful as well.
Yeah. I truly feel that way. It's I haven't spoken on it too much yet publicly because I really wanted to like be deeper into the process to have some legs to stand on to, you know, speak to the embodied experience of it. But I think it would be such a helpful place for so many people to explore.
Right. And you know, the microdose is for everybody. Not all the plants are for everybody. You know, but the microdose is super safe. My three kids, they all take microdosing. The people that I love the most take microdosing. My wife, my father, my mother, my nephew, my sisters. I mean, I give microdoses to the people that I love the most. So it connects you. Connects you to your heart, to life, to joy. So for me, it's a process of liberation, the microdosing, because it allows you to understand more who you are, not who you think you are. And from there, you can have a more clear decision-making every day. You know, there's a line of Carl Jung that I love, that he says, what your unconscious mind keep being unconscious, it will rule your life, what you will call it destiny. So for me, the integration of our unconscious mind to our consciousness is a process of freedom, because it allows you to observe our patterns, our neuroses, and make our decisions from this space of more freedom.
Yeah. So much more safety too, and more freedom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Research.
So if we were going to bring someone in on this journey, what would be the best way for someone to connect with you or to discover your work?
Well, I think we can do it with, I'm going to share with you a link. And if you want to share that link with the people that you're going to invite, that would be amazing. For the people that don't know me, we have a research institute of neuroscience. We have been working for the last 5 years doing research on the mushrooms and the effect that it makes in our perception of reality, mainly in the 6 neurotransmitters in charge of our physical health, mental health, and how we perceive our personal reality, because it's very relative. No, this is why it's a personal reality. It's serotonin, dopamine, noradrenaline, acetylcholine, GABA, and glutamate. So we have done one of the largest studies in the world in mushrooms. So we have a lot of information that can support your process. We have helped more than 5,000 people in 32 countries. We have more than 20 protocols. So I'm sure that we have one protocol for you. We create personal formulas, as you know. We create your personal formula, Erica, your personal protocol that fits precisely for your actual process of life. And we do the follow-up as well. So yep. You don't feel alone in the process. That's the whole idea.
Yeah. And definitely the connection I've been able to have with you throughout the process has created an extra level of safety through it. Like someone so deeply understanding the science and the spiritual part of it and trauma and having gone through your own journey and experiences, it's really deepened and enriched my process.
Wow. Thank you. And half of the institute has to do with integration. We have more than 50 doctors working with us. We have, those 50, especially, we have doctors, we have psychiatrists, we have therapists, we have psychologists. We have a lot of people for supporting the integration process, depending on your needs, depending on your actual process of life, generate this protocol that will fit very much in what you need and what are the challenges that you need to face in the next month.
Yeah. We will definitely make sure to link all of this information with this show so people can find this work and connect with you. And whether that's through me or directly through you, we'll navigate that pathway. But I'm so deeply grateful for the space that you've provided for me and the healing that's happened in this container and over such a short period of time is life-changing. And I'm just so deeply...
It's been an honor to walk a path with a rebel spirit.
There is some truth to that. And definitely a much larger path ahead of us, I think, is opening and unfolding. And I'm so excited to explore what space we get to hold together and create from there.
No, thank you for the space. It's an honor. And looking forward to have many other conversations with you.
Okay. Oh, there will be many, many more.
Have a beautiful evening. Thank you very much for your time.
You do the same.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If this podcast feels in resonance with you, I would be so grateful for 30 seconds of your time. To follow or subscribe to the Return to You podcast, to leave a 5-star rating and review, and to share this episode with someone you love who's on the journey home to themselves too. Thank you so much for being here. I see you.